We are in a battle for our very lives. And if you don't know that, you need to get that in your spirit. The other morning, I had an open vision, and I saw the devil standing there. And then I heard the Lord's voice say, "The mark of the beast is here, and the people have been marked." Remember what God's been telling us. You need to get it together before it's too late. He was saying he was shaking, and he was separating the goats from the sheep. I'll just say it this way. God said the church does not understand what's going on around about them. And they are not listening to his still small voice and even his loud voice through the prophets, that now is a time of salvation. He also told me yesterday that what is waiting for with the great glory drop is love. Love will bring the glory drop. So when the house of God quits their mess that they're doing and just walk in perfect love, you're going to see the glory. You're going to start seeing the miracles. But it's not going to be until we really learn to walk in pure love. Okay, you know, I was doing something last week, and I just heard the word yellow. So I looked up the word yellow, and it's a very significant word, a color to God. You need to go home and Google it and look at it. It's awesome. God is doing great, marvelous things in this hour. But are you at the place where God can share his heart with you? That's the gist of everything. You have to be so in love with God that nothing in this world will satisfy except him. I'm hearing God right now say there's a great divide between hell and heaven, and many are going to hell because they will not change. They will not transfer love for hate, and they're holding on to things that are not of God, and so it's taking them out of the hands of God and headed straight to hell. I know that nobody likes to hear this. They'd like to come to church, and I let you have a good time in praise and worship because I know what I'm going to give you afterwards. No. You know, everything with the AI and everything that I read this week, I have changed my attitude at how soon Jesus is going to come back again. Nobody knows when he's coming back, but we better get our houses in order or we're going to be left standing when he does come back. Reverend Elizabeth sent me a word that God gave her, and so she's going to come and give it. It's all typed up. It's right here. Because it's her word, I was going to give it. Then she said, "I feel like I need to be in church." I thought she thought maybe I wouldn't do it right. No, I'm just teasing. So I thought, well, good. I'll just let her give it. So, Reverend Elizabeth, come on out. Does she have a microphone? I want you to listen very intently to what Elizabeth is saying, because she does hear God's voice. She is a vessel that God does work through. And everything that he's given his true prophets, we need to hear and digest. Come on up, Elizabeth.
You know, it's funny. I try not to inundate people with emails, but the Lord woke me up at 3 this morning when I couldn't go back to sleep no matter what. I thought, well, I think I'm supposed to get up and pray. So as I sat in the living room, I came out to the living room so I wouldn't fall back to sleep. And have you ever had just the sense that you want to pray or you want to pray in the spirit, but the weight of his presence was so strong, I couldn't do anything. I just sat there and I felt, well, I'll tell you how I felt. I didn't feel like it was baby Jesus in the room. I felt the thunder and the glory and the majesty of who he is. And it was kind of shaking. you know, I was just like, just sitting there in his presence. And I did say, Lord, and I prayed a little bit in tongues, and I said, do you want me just to sit and listen? And I just felt, listen, just be in his presence. And, you know, it's funny because I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Before I share this, I forget where it is in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, but there's a word, maybe it's in Proverbs, it says there's the ways of God are past finding out. And there's another scripture that says that no one knows all of God. And I was thinking today, you know, like Pastor said, in a moment, we're going to be gone. In a moment, it's going to be happening. And again, I won't get into pre-trib, mid-trib timing. As Pastor said, God alone has his timing. But we know there's a whole lot that's going to be happening whenever we go to be with the Lord. And I was thinking, you know, I've walked with the Lord 43 or 44 years now. And never before, like in the last couple of years, have I felt like I know absolutely nothing. I feel like my dad used to say, the older you get, the more you know, the less you know, you know. I feel like I know nothing. Because everything I knew about God, and it's true. Am I holding this the right way? Can you hear me? Okay. Everything I knew about God is true, but there's so many layers. And I was thinking today that I had heard about somebody that passed away today who didn't serve the Lord, somebody in government. I'll leave it at that. And I was so sad. And I thought, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of their life, they spent climbing to get to the top. What's it all for? In a moment, it's all gone. In a moment, they stand before the Lord. And we have billions and billions of eternity. But that scripture I have to look it up. It's been in my spirit. And when I felt like the Lord was saying, in a billion years from me, you won't even have scratched the surface. You mean there's that much of you, God? In other words, you can never get to the end of his love. And that's hard for our finite mind. We can never get to the end of God. There's so much God. And, you know, trillions, they think, billions of galaxies, each containing billions of planets, they haven't discovered. And he knows the name of every one. And I'm like, how much God is God? But we have the privilege of entering this. And as Pastor said, we've got to do whatever we can to pull those out of the fire so they make it. And I know God's been working on my love walk because he's just been showing me we've got to, as you always say, love the unlovely. Pray for those who are perishing because one day it'll be too late. Okay, I'm going to read what I need these. I looked at the time. I felt to check the time. I sat before the Lord for about an hour or so. When I looked at the clock, it was 4:24, okay? And then it hit me. Today is 4:24:24. I'm like, okay, Lord, that's kind of interesting. And 24 is a governmental number. Now, there's 24 elders. If you look up 24 in the Hebrew gematria, you know what numbers mean, it's basically God's got it all sewn up. It's the government of God. So I knew that that wasn't a coincidence. And what I heard was, it's go time. And I'm just going to say what I heard. Tell my people that I am riding swiftly across the earth, and my angel armies are moving swiftly over the continents. Time is being condensed for kingdom purposes. I am piercing principalities, strongholds. I am puncturing, that's the word, puncturing ancient demonic realms. And when I heard that, I could almost see the angels with tipped spear. They're puncturing the demonic realms. They're going into places in the second heavens that have been so tied up for generations that only God's power can get through there. And my angel armies are pulverizing strongholds that stand against the harvest of souls. The most intense battles since war broke out in heaven and Lucifer and his followers were cast down to earth are happening in the heavenly realms now. Ranks are falling in line. My warring angels are mounted and ready. And when I heard the word mounted, I'm thinking, I don't know if they're on horses or, and it doesn't matter, but they're ready. The army's ready. And this is a serious word. The death angel has been sent out. My word cannot return void. I am removing generational principalities and demonic strongholds. And I just have to comment on that word, the death angel. We don't rejoice over hearing that. But God, I was thinking about Herod when he stood up and said, the people were saying, he is a God, he is a God. That very day, the worm started eating away at him. And I think the Lord is so jealous for this harvest. Jesus paid such a hefty price. And the Lord is just going to remove things that stand in his way. He's not going to let this harvest go to waste. That's what I heard. As I write this, I am sitting in the Lord's presence, and I felt to read Isaiah 63. And I thought of the last verse where the Lord himself says he is coming, rending the heavens to rescue his people. And this it's interesting, it happened in ancient Israel, it happened on October 7th, and it'll happen again in Israel. Because not all will understand that Jesus is the Messiah. There's a great move of God and God is revealing, but not all will come in. Okay, so there's another vicious, vicious war coming to Israel and to the nations. And the Lord said this, on October 7th, there was a barbaric attack against Israel. And it seemed in the natural, Israel couldn't stand. She's always outnumbered, like 1,000 to 1, but God. But God, I mean, there's little Israel. It's not even the size of New Jersey. And of the 6 million people, 1.5 are Christian Arabs or the Bedouins or, you know, different people groups. And they've lived there. Their neighbors are Jews. They get along. They work together. And the powers of evil that want death and destruction are trying to cause that mayhem. So on October 7th, there was a barbaric, I don't need to go into the details, attack against young and old, okay? But God, and only the Lord he gave Benjamin Netanyahu and the army of Israel, the IDF, the wisdom, and they're still fighting 6 months later. And right now, we saw what happened with Iran last week, right? They were outnumbered. I think I read, it was like 900 some missiles. Woo, woo, woo. One would blow up the city. 900. Boom, 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 boom. Imagine that. Outnumbered, surrounded by billions. And there's a couple million. And yet, God, they are still there. You know, I'm thinking there had to be angels spitting down those things, you know, because the drone can only do so much. And yet with all this terrible bloodshed, many are coming to the ones whose arm was stained with his own blood. That's Isaiah 63, who fought for Israel, King Jesus or Yeshua himself. And you know, I have friends who are in the land who live there, and my husband had some relatives there, and I partner with some ministries there. Unbelievable, people that you would never think would come to Jesus or coming to Jesus, Holocaust survivor, children, because they're realizing, you know, there's nothing like desperation, war, and tragedy to take a lot of religious blinders off. Now, not all, but many have come in, praise God. And by the way, do you know where the largest group of martyrs are right now in the world? More people are coming to faith in Jesus in Iran than anywhere else. Most Iranians hate what the mullahs and the imams are doing. They don't like the government. Most of the people are so desperate for freedom. They had freedom up till 1979 when the Shah was in power, and then the radical sect of Shiites came in, okay? So there's underground churches like crazy, and they love. I have friends over there, Amir Sephardi, he said, even before this war started, when they go out through Iran, they run Americans, and they hug them. See, we can't believe what we're hearing on the news. It's lied. You know, you've got to get true news from people who are on the ground. Most Iranians, not the militants, not those who are taught to kill and hate. You know, people under Hamas are, Hamas is a lot like the word Haman, isn't it? They're taught to kill and hate and we're the enemy. But if they don't learn that hatred, if they know better, they really love, they want God. They really want the true God because they know what they have, isn't it? So the Lord says, my own arm will save my people, says the Lord of hosts. America and Israel's destiny is intertwined. And he called them the harvest vultures. I was thinking of Matthew 24, where the spirit of death is. That's where the vulture is, right? The Lord was saying, these are harvest vultures, spirit of death. Ancient principalities and powers of destruction will stop at nothing to destroy both nations. And of course, we know that there's a lot happening in this country and at the UN. They basically want to take Israel to court for crimes against humanity. Yet they're the ones who were attacked. You know, the enemy twists everything. He twists everything and makes it the opposite. But this is what the Lord said. So I will move quickly and will strike the horse and rider with madness. Now, in the day that this Isaiah wrote this prophecy, they didn't have tanks. They didn't have ships. You know, they didn't have satellites. They didn't have jets. Okay, so the horse and rider, what was coming to me when I heard it is God is going to really come after the armies, whether they're in the air, the sea, or on land. He's going to strike them with madness. They're going to be given to their own delusion. And probably like Gideon, they may fight each other. I don't know, but that's what I thought of. I'm also hearing, pray that many blind pawns in this international Game of Thrones will have their eyes open. A pawn is somebody who gets used. They think they're doing the right thing and they're believing, but they're just really, they're somebody's scapegoat. So God's saying that there's many blind pawns. They're just following the mantra. They can't see the truth. They cannot see they were just fodder for the mouth of demons as they signed wretched documents, shook hands in backroom deals, and bartered for millions of souls and trillions of dollars. They shall soon be no more, says the Spirit of Grace. The Ancient of Days is not mocked. It is time for a reckoning. Many will soon be cowering before my presence as their heinous deeds are laid out before them. I plead it with them to repent, but they refuse my grace continually for days, weeks, and years. Now their time is up. Now they must face me, saith the Lord. I will no longer watch my innocent ones be destroyed by those who sold their souls for booty and gain. Now I will move, saith the Lord. And the scripture that came to me was Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And at the end of that, I just was still sitting there, you know, taking this all in, and I kind of saw the outline of the map of the United States. And I quickly looked up, you know, on my phone, I looked, you know, Googled to get an outline of the states. And I heard, I don't know what they are, but I heard seven points of entry. I also heard the word borders and gates. And then the next thought that came to me was the Hebrew letter Pei. Pei is the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And in Hebrew, every word has a meaning and every number has a value. It's not like our alphabet, okay? And the Hebrew letter Pei refers to the mouth. And it looks like a sign. Have you ever done like the smiley face when you're sending, you know, emails out like ding, little, so it looks like a U. And it has two little dots, and then it looks like a tongue. So in other words, if somebody did a smile but put it sideways, that's what the pay looks like. And I saw, like, the pay over the outline of the U.S. map. So what I did is I superimposed it. I looked at the pay, and I put it on top of the map. And when I did it, it looked like this, okay? And it was and I looked at the states. And I'm not saying God said this. I'm just saying what I saw. I saw the border of California, Oregon, Washington, Seattle, Arizona, and then if you're on the East Coast, Maine, New York, New Jersey. In other words, it trimmed the borders, okay? And the mouth part, the tongue part, was in the middle of what they call the heartland, perhaps Kansas or Missouri, okay? And I thought, okay, and then I heard one more thing. I just heard one word, June. Okay, June. I know that we all know two patriot-related American holidays we celebrate in June. One is D-Day, you know, when the Second World War was over. They also call it Victory Day. That's June 6th. And June 14th is Flag Day, which was made a national holiday by Congress. Just a little aside, President Trump's birthday is June 14th. That has nothing to do with anything. And there was one more thing I was reminded of today. Shavuot, or Pentecost, is also in June. And Shavuot is the commanded holiday that the Jews celebrate when God gave Moses the law. You know, we all remember Charlton Heston coming down with the Ten Commandments. God gave them the law, all of humanity, the law. And all the truths and all the words are in the law. So isn't it interesting that when Pentecost fell and Jesus, you know, the Holy Spirit told the disciples, stay in the upper room. Jesus said, stay in the upper room till the Spirit falls. It happened on Pentecost. It happened on Shavuot. So the glory of God fell on the day the law was given. Moses was the lawgiver. Jesus, grace. The law and grace come together. So three significant events for us believers, it's Shavuot or Pentecost. I didn't put it in there. I forgot to. And then D-Day and June 14th. And I'm not saying God said anything about those dates. I just know that he said June. And
Elizabeth, I don't want to bother you a bit.
Sure.
In January, God told me, watch the month of June.
Oh.
Something is going to happen in June.
Oh.
I was going to say that before I got up.
Thank you.
So that, that excited me.
Wow, I thank you for sharing that. And I just wanted to notice, I want to share with you all, please pay attention to when God wakes you up. Everything is significant with God. I just thought for the longest time, I wake up at 3 for no reason. No matter what time I go to sleep, I wake up at 3. And not every night, but most nights. And try to get back to sleep. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. And on the Hebrew calendar, that's the ninth hour. If you read the Old Testament, if you read in the Gospels, they'll always say, on the ninth hour, an angel came. On the ninth hour, the jail was let open. See, God does everything. 9 is grace, okay? And so that's the ninth hour. 3, because the day in Israel starts about 6 p.m. So 6, you know, 6 to 12, add 3, that's 9. So it was at 4:24, 4:42 between there when I was sitting before the Lord. And so before we pray, I just wanted to say something that I think I've heard Brother Brett and the gentlemen who teach on the courtroom. Thank you. I've learned so much from your courtroom teaching. I think Brett and Aaron have taught this, that King Jesus judges, then he makes war. And that's Revelation 19:11. He judges. He makes a command decision, then he makes war. So I just want to read Isaiah 63 because I think that's so significant to everything that's happening here. And on the little title above the scripture, it's, you know how sometimes, depending on what version of the Bible, it'll have like a little heading. And I was using the Tree of Life, the Hebrew Bible, because I wanted to get the original Aramaic. And it says, Winepress of Vengeance, Isaiah 63. Who is this coming from Edom? That's the whole area that's against Israel right now. In crimson garments from Bozra, that's near Damascus. The one splendid in his apparel, pressing forward in his great might. It is I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel so red? And your garments like one who treads in a winepress? That's where that song comes from. Now, I have seen the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage. That's where that comes from, okay? They took the writer took it from that scripture. Verse 3, I have trodden the winepress alone, From the peoples, no man was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Their lifeblood spattered my garments, so I stained all my robes. For a day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was amazed, but no one was assisting. So my own arm won victory for me, and my wrath upheld me. So I trod down the peoples in my anger and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. And the next couple of verses, it says, remembering his chesed, that's mercy, I will remember the loving kindness of Adonai, the praises of Adonai, according to all that Adonai has granted us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has granted them according to his compassion and according to the abundance of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. So he became their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. So the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them. Then he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. Right now in Israel, it's Passover, and they are celebrating and reading that scripture as the Lord preserved them and took them through. But I think of America too. We have a covenant with God, and we have forgotten God. But they rebelled and grieved his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit. So he turned to become their enemy. He himself fought against them. Then his people remembered the days of old, the days of Moses. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put among them his Ruach HaKodesh, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make himself a name forever, who led them through the desert like a horse in the desert? They did not stumble. Like cattle that go down into a valley, the Ruach HaKodesh gave them rest. So you led your people to make yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see from your holy, glorious, lofty abode. Where are your zeal and mighty deeds and the yearnings of your heart, your compassion withheld from me? For you are our father, even if Abraham would not know us or Israel not recognize us. You, Adonai, are our father, our redeemer. From everlasting is your name. Adonai, why do you cause us to stray from your ways and harden our hearts from fearing you? Return for your servant's sake the tribes of your heritage. Briefly, your holy people possessed it. Our foes have trampled your sanctuary. We have become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those not called by your name. And Pastor, do you want to pray? Okay. I would like it if we could just all lift up not just Israel, not just America. The Lord is, I really believe, weeping over the nations. He has no favorites. He loves all of his children. And I just want to lift up all the lost, all those who are intentionally lost, who refuse to bend their knee to their maker, all those whose hearts have grown cold, all those who refuse to acknowledge that there is one God, one creator, one maker. All those who belong to the Lord in name, but they are lukewarm or backslidden or just not aware of the hour in which we live. I want to lift up all those who are in deep, gross sin, that they will have this final wake-up call, because the Lord's merciful. He will save someone, I believe, to their last breath, but they have to be sincere. And lastly, and this encompasses, I think there's 8.2 billion people on earth. Lord, you know the name of everyone, and you have angels all over. But I want to pray for us. When I say us, the body of believers, not just at this church, but every church and fellowship and congregation. Lord, I have never been more aware of my sinfulness, my lack of all that I was called to be as I have the last few years. And it doesn't have to be willful sin or intentional sin. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things where we say, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done that, or maybe I could have done more, or maybe I could have prayed a little more. It's those areas that seem so small and insignificant that are really powerful in our testimony. And I just want to be a living sacrifice. I want to be someone who, when I stand before the Lord, Lord, I've given you my all. And even though we think we've given him our all, what I'm finding out every day is as we seek him, he'll show us. He's still working on us. No condemnation. There's no judgment in this. He loves us. We're redeemed. We're covered by his blood. But I believe he wants to take us even to, as Pastor said earlier, a deeper level of love and a deeper level of consecration so we can be available for whatever Holy Spirit wants to do in the earth in the coming days, weeks, and months. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would pour out of heaven a cleansing flood, the blood of the Son. I ask, Lord, that you would sweep this place with your angels and that you would speak to each one of our hearts now and when we're lying on our bed tonight and speak to us and write your tablet in our heart. Write your words inside of us where we will see the things that we maybe haven't seen or the things that maybe break your heart that we weren't even aware of. Lord, make us so sensitive to your spirit that we won't know where you begin and where we end and where we end and you begin. Make us that living, living sacrifice so we can say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought the fight. I have won the race. My life is now poured out as a libation, as an offering. I have done what you've asked and I'm ready. And all I know is every one of us here, we want to be ready. Lord, make us ready. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, what I saw while Elizabeth was praying was you people lined up here with your hands up. You had on white robes and the fire of love coming down through you. So if you want to receive that anointing that God wants to give you tonight, please come. The altar's open.